Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show. It's brought to you along with Levi Solicitors, who will do you a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. They're also doing 15% off for January 2023 on... Does Moscow know?
Do you know what they're doing 15% off on?
Just great things.
You're correct. Michael, you know, don't you?
Conveyancing, wills and probate.
Correct. 15% off on those. And there is a new booking system online as well on the website. And you can do video calls for wills. That's exciting, isn't it? Don't even have to leave your house.
I do.
Details on all that, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. This is Propaganda, where we will check out some clips from the football world across the last few days. Moscow, welcome back. It's lovely to have you back.
Happy New Year. How's it going?
Is that how it is?
He's here, look.
He's not seen him in ages.
And you'll see he's in the lovely yellow away red kite kit if you're watching the video version on YouTube. If not, if you're just listening.
You can hear the rustle of it. Great material.
Looking like an aged David Prutton.
So it's not one of Admiral's best efforts. They've got a lot better.
They have actually.
Since then, they make some much nicer shirts now.
Yes, thesquareball.net for that. Right, then, should we get into it? And some of the fallout from Cardiff. Were you warned?
By who?
Well, you know who. Big man.
Top boy.
Yeah, top boy. Shall we just play the clip here and try and explain it afterwards, or try and explain it first?
I'll let you explain it, because I also found this and just went, what? Who is this man? What is he?
So it's Dan Michael and Moscow, by the way, here on Propaganda. So this is Del Boy Diablo. Who appears to be sort of a Goodfellas wise guy meets Welshman. Is that the best way to summarise him?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, have a listen, see what you think. And this, I should say, this came from a longer video. I think it was about 3.5 minutes, something like that. But I've tried to edit it down, giving you a radio edit, minus less of the padding.
Leeds! Leeds United! Leeds United FC, talking to you! You already know who it is. The top lad. Uncle Del, Del Boy Diablo, Diablo TV. So with that being said, what I urge you to do tomorrow, Leeds, behave, all right? Show some respect. You show respect to Cardiff. Because here's the thing, Leeds, you may be useful in a victory or defeat. If it's a victory, it's a victory. Prevents relegation and it's a victory. However, if the Cardiff gets relegated, besides that, you're going to be on the top of another league. Forget about that. What's going to happen? The management. What's going to happen to the value of the team? Now you're in a lower league. Less money. Less players. Duh. So there may be an effort. Nobody's told me this. There may be an effort underway to purposely devalue the CCFC and get the owner out and get the great Sam Hammam back in. But I'm still seeing what the climate is. Maybe I can go there and maybe I can talk to the Vincent Tan and maybe talk some sense into him and get the more cooperation going on. But in the meantime, Leeds, we don't need you guys coming in and disturbing what we got going on. So you stay in the escort, and when you chant respectfully, and maybe you won't get abused this time like you have in the past. But it's on you, Leeds, so make the right move.
We were warned, weren't we?
You've got to say, if somebody says they're your uncle, but you know they're not your uncle,
Yeah. Stay
away from that person. That's just a little advice to any kids listening, and adults as well, if there's, you never know who this guy's roaming around speaking to. But
it feels a bit different. So you know when you were growing up and you had an auntie who wasn't your auntie? Less threatening than that. She's just one of your neighbours or your mum's friend or whatever.
He does look a bit threatening.
Did you have an auntie growing up that wasn't your auntie?
Yeah, a few.
Who was it? Name one of them.
Sue.
Yeah, Vivian. Auntie Viv. Yeah. Moscow.
Susan Sausage. If she was known. I think she was called Potter, but I think it was one of those childish things where you can't say the name properly when you're little, so it ended up sounding like sausage or something like that. I can't quite remember why she was called Susan Sausage, but
thank you.
Shout out to Susan Sausage.
Yeah,
used to get me good Christmas presents.
Yeah,
it's a passable impression of Mr. T, wasn't it?
Yeah,
he's got some of it, but he doesn't seem able to quite sustain it all the way through. Did we disturb what Cardiff are doing? He seemed worried about their equilibrium, that we might shake them up being 20th.
I think there
or
was
do
some,
we leave them alone?
The suggestion, I think, from listening to it, is that they might choose to lose so they could get relegated, in which case it would allow them to change the ownership, but we had to go there and be respectful around all that. So, did they get the 3 points at the weekend? Or
yeah, I think he's misunderstood that.
But yeah.
I guess the other big question is, did Leeds fans stay in the Escort? And did we all 6,000 fit in an Escort?
I think
it's
there was
a big car.
There was a big run of buses, I think, from one of the services, apparently.
Were they that kind of escort?
I guess so.
As opposed to the telephone kind, yes. Were they respectful, though? Is another question.
Oh, Leeds fans are always respectful away from home.
Absolutely.
We're a great bunch of, I will say, on his accent, the criticism we've sometimes faced for doing daft, generic American accents.
Yeah.
I've not done anything as daft as that.
No. This seems to be sort of a Latin twist to it, but it also felt like New York wise guy. Plus, if you listen carefully to the whole thing, there is Welsh keeps creeping in. So, and he's wearing Fred Perry as well. So he's got the hooligan style outfit, but he just seems to be a man shouting in front of a garage door in somewhere, maybe in New York State. I don't know.
Fair enough. Has he got a garage in constant use sign on it? I like those.
I hope so. You've got a nice garage actually, haven't you?
It's a good garage.
Yeah, it's a good, spacious, solid garage. Yeah. Where should we go next, then? We've got quite a few to get through, so...
Well, sticking Cardiff, because I did try to find some upset people, but they, I guess, as we used to be, irregular podcasters.
Right.
So none of them had actually produced anything. Some had not produced any for several years when I found the kind of skeleton of a podcast that someone had once recommended. But yeah, there was not an awful lot. The only person I did find on YouTube was someone called That Cardiff City Fan. He put one video on, and this is it, completely unedited. This is it, what he uploaded. This is us equalising. It's not much happens. You can hear a bit of cheering, but it's probably worth it just for the payoff. And he's taking this from the opposite end of the ground, so the Leeds fans are fairly distant.
That was great.
It's the child's voice too. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, kids, child. Kids swearing. Brilliant. Excellent. I'm really pleased with that one. It needs no further build-up, does it? No further discussion. Just a child swearing. Well done, child. Next then, Michael. Where are we going? Do we need to pick apart Leeds United, or should we have some more fun with it?
Well, we've got some Leeds feedback too. A few people mentioning Aronson, saying, healthy heart Dan, saying, is Brendan Aronson no longer a good signing? He was awful tonight. Which was a fair point. And a few people did point out his failings. As much use as a waterproof tea bag since Christmas. Since Chelsea, sorry, not Christmas. Much before that.
Ghost Shark, though?
He got in touch because I think a lot of Brendan's problems have been physicality-wise.
If you're new to the show, Ghost Shark has some robust views.
Yes, that's one way of putting it. And he's given Brendan an offer.
Have a listen.
That little yank badger Aronson is embarrassing now. He needs personal training, let's have a up. I'll do it gratis. Fucking little.
There you go.
Gratis.
Gratis.
You'll do it gratis.
Yeah. I'd love to know if that is a real accent. I hope it is.
Wait, I mean, you weren't on the match ball, Moscow. What did you make of our performance under Jesse? I've read your match report, but I get the feeling you weren't thrilled with it.
No, we were pretty bad. It's particularly first half. And it's been, I suppose, the theme throughout the last few weeks. Well, since the World Cup, when you'd think that was the opportunity to sort everything out. Seems to be the time when Aronson has gone off the boil, so he just needs a rest. I don't think there's any... we don't need to be rushing into him being a bad signing or anything like that. But yeah, every game seems to be just Marsh coming out at the end and saying, well, the first half was terrible because all the stuff I was trying to get them to do either they didn't do it or it didn't work. And then we had to change some stuff in the second half, and that saved the day. So that's not really a very good basis going forward, particularly
start bad, then try and fix it.
I mean, the thing with it, it was quite different against Cardiff in that we were using Rasmus Christensen as an auxiliary right winger, and then the back three was Llorente, Strauch in the middle, and then Firpo as the left centre back. And then the final piece of that is, if you look at Nyonto and Somerville's average positions, they're stood next to each other on the left. So I don't know if it's some kind of
best mates.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like, they can leave each other alone during a match for 10 minutes to give us a little bit of room to play.
You can't get in the way of a bromance, sorry.
But the problems then all sort of carried on around, because we just couldn't get the ball to Christensen. So he was just standing on the right wing being useless. If we did give him the ball, he couldn't control it. If he did control it, he couldn't give it to anybody. So none of that was working. Aronson, I think, looks bad, perhaps worse than he has been, because he was just kind of standing in the middle with Gelhart going like, what do we do? Because they keep giving it to Rasmus and he's not doing anything with it. And occasionally we'd go to Nyonto and Somerville, and if they got into the box, I mean, Nyonto just kept diving. So that wasn't good. We did it once.
Should we do the classic shit sandwich here? Because we've had some fun clips there at the start. We've all had a nice time. Should we do the Leeds United bloodletting quickly and then move on to the entertainment stuff again at the end? So should we get the bad out of the way when it comes to Jesse? Because a lot of people are unhappy with Jesse at the minute.
On Rasmus, actually, I was reading Wacko with some discussion of him, and people suggesting we should use him as a centre-back, having watched that performance, because they were like, his touch clearly isn't good enough to play as a right-back, and so he could maybe slot in as a centre-back. But then you think, that's not his position. Surely he's going to be worse at that.
Well, so the lesson of the first half, and then going into the second half, when Firpo was one of our best players, was we'd set up with Rasmus on the right wing, set up with Firpo, if we want to do this asymmetrical formation, set up with Firpo on the left wing, play Ayling as a right centre-back, which we know he's good at, Llorente, Strauch pushing across, or Verba if he's coming in as less left centre-back. And maybe that would work better, having a player who is actually good going forward, instead of Christensen, who appears to be chronically bad going forward, which does make you wonder why we went into the game, having spent a lot of time working out the tactical plan, putting our worst attacker and making him the centrepiece of our attack.
So Moscow says Junior Firpo is the answer.
Well, listen, we've got a Firpo-related clip, and I know we've had things to say about Junior Firpo. Many of the fans are not necessarily completely taken with him just yet. Some other fans have been talking about him, but we'll get to that, because let's do the lead stuff first. But as soon as the other fans were talking about him, I went, hang on a second, you don't talk about my junior like that. First of all, then let's get the bad stuff for Jesse out of the way. Then who's the person who has more forthright views?
Lewis Shizhouse.
This
something
one.
Like that.
We only ever look good when we're behind and we ditch the game plan. The wide men get wide. They run at people. You know, there's fast football. It's not all this frantic fucking pinball in the middle. He's dragging us down. He's making good footballers look shit. The system's a fucking failure. Smug in his press conference afterwards, distancing himself from the players. It's their fault. That's not what fucking Leeds managers do. That's what Frank Lampard does. Quite ironic, because I was watching on telly and one of their players sounded like Billie Jean. And if I was Jesse's dad, I would be saying he's not my fucking son. Cheers. Fuck off.
Wow. Jaden Philogene.
Oh, of course.
I wasn't expecting it to get quite so aggressive there towards the end.
He went all in. I think it was probably the strongest one we got in terms of Jesse criticism. So, you know, there were varying degrees of it, but that was the top end.
I can't remember who to give the credit for this to, but somebody did use the term Yank Lampard, didn't they? Emerged yesterday on Twitter, which is it unfair? Possibly.
Jesse doesn't quite throw his players under the bus in the same way as Lampard, does he? He tends to caveat it a bit with like, well, we worked on this and it didn't work. Yeah, but for whatever reason that may have been.
But Michael, have you seen the tweet of the video of him prancing around in front of the West Stand saying they're scared and stuff like that? Talking to fans, it's not.
He was shouting at the bench saying that the players, pointing at the players and saying they're scared. Why are they scared? And it is probably a key, crucial component of this whole thing and how it's not working, because what would frighten a player most going on the pitch is being sent out to do something that you don't. Is being sent out to do something that you don't think is going to work.
Or a wolf.
And then we're having to change those things on the hoof in the games. And I think that's maybe a big part to do with it. And on throwing players, I thought his comments on, he was a bit back and forth about Pascal on Sunday afterwards, because he was saying that basically everything started to go wrong when he played that back pass to Robles. And then when he was talking about, he said, from then on, we lost control. And then he was asked about giving him the captaincy. And it was one of the most Jesse Marsh things I've ever heard, because he said, I thought that Pascal was really good before the match. So the toying cast, shaking hands, handing over a pennant, greeting the mascot, all brilliant. And then he said in the game he was okay, but really good before the match.
So there with Bielsa saying he had respect for the Japanese people when asked about Idiguchi.
Yeah, well, yes, Idiguchi did credits to the Japanese people, didn't he, for the way he behaved.
We should mention Pascal as well, because he's graduated from Big Sexy Pirate to Big Sexy Captain of a ship.
I suppose so. I'm not sure he'll be captaining it again for a while after that.
It's been suggested he's lost his powers, though, Samson-like, because he's had his hair cut.
Yeah, he missed a good chance as well, didn't he? I think I was saying at halftime, if this had been Verba, are we going with Verba or Vuba? I've heard
it's Vuba, isn't it? Vuba.
Vuba. If that had been, imagine his performance.
As a debut,
everyone would have been like, oh my Christ, what the fuck have we signed here?
There was a bit of system problems there as well, because when I was listening to the match ball and the mistake that Pascal made for the first goal, there's an element, because we were three at the back in possession and then we were trying to get back to four, so Christensen has to come sprinting back when we're being attacked, and transition is a weakness when we're the other team are running at us. So Cardiff start running at us, Christensen is running back to make it a four. Strauch is having to, I mean, Firpo's just disappeared at this point. Strauch is having to change.
He's a free spirit
from
junior.
From being a left-sided centre-back in a three to it's going to become a four when Rasmus comes back. He has two runners behind him, and I think he thinks one of them, I think the one who takes him by surprise, he thinks, right, I'll go with this one. And Llorente, as we're all shuffling over because Christensen comes back, Llorente's coming over and Llorente will take him. But Llorente is not on board with that because he's thinking about something else. And the whole thing is just this complicated setup that Cardiff could play through.
what do you think Diego was thinking about? A nice wedding he went to in the summer?
Well, it could be, why the hell are we doing this
Super Mario Brothers?
This mad formation against Cardiff, when I think some of the credit in the second half was that we went back to just doing what we normally do in games, which is two centre-backs staying back, two full-backs going forward, pushing the opposition back, because it's only Cardiff and we don't have to worry about them attacking against us too much, and we looked a lot better, kind of just going back to the normal thing. But it did seem, I wondered if the first half was a bit of a preview of how Marcia said we might play if we're involving Vilba more, in which case I don't think that's going to work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So if the defense is the problem, maybe we need to get that Dorkin Wanderers manager in. So, you know, they conceded 5 goals to Oldham.
I was surprised to see they were in the same division, actually.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was like some sort of cup
they're in the same division.
Right, because you may have seen this clip during the rounds. It strikes me that maybe the level of media training as you drop down the leagues is perhaps not as high as it might be, let's say, in the glossy world of the Premier League, because this is why he explained his team had conceded 5 to Oldham.
There's no way of dressing up the situation. You know, in honesty, you know, Oldham have won 5-1 because we are shit at defending.
Which seems very honest and open. Yeah, I've got to respect
him
for
pretty
that.
Straightforward.
You've got to bear in mind with Dorking, they do have quite an active TikTok presence. So I'm not sure how much of that is a lack of media training and how much of it is like,
oh, okay,
this is good media training.
The wakey winds of non-league.
A little element of that, yeah. You know, but you can never tell these days who's kind of on top of things and who's not.
The wakey winds reference there is for that drink Prime, isn't it?
Mm.
Can you explain Prime to me as somebody who sort of knows what it is, but don't really? I want to explain it in Norman's terms.
It looks like
you're down with the kids. You're on TikTok, Moscow.
It just looks like a normal energy drink that for some reason people are willing to pay like 20 quid a bottle for.
Right.
Strange. Because of some YouTubers did it. Should we look?
We're YouTubers. Listen.
Oh, that's
got
true.
Glass of lemonade here. Do you want this? Do you want this? 100 quid?
Yeah, anyway, yeah.
It's got my DNA in it.
I think it's put Wakefield on the map. It's not probably culturally where Wakefield was aiming to be. You know,
I always felt Wakefield should be celebrated for its category A prison.
It's a good prison, actually.
Good, solid prison, isn't it?
It is a good prison. Yeah. No, prisons need to be solid.
I mean, it's always brought in the big names.
It has. Yeah. It has.
Anyway.
Make a good museum one day, maybe. Although you'd have to release everyone in it, which would probably pose a bit of a problem.
I wouldn't release them. I'd maybe move them somewhere else.
Yeah.
Releasing them could cause problems for Wakefield's reputation. Mm. That's all I'm saying. Just going back to this then, Dan's been in touch, who, you know, we've had the yin there of people criticising Jesse's setup. Let's have the yang now, shall we?
Well, let's look at positives from that. We didn't lose. We got a nice last-minute equaliser, which is always good. It is against Cardiff. In fairness, I did actually back us to lose 2-1 and cashed out when we scored our first comeback goal. I'm glad I did. I didn't think it'd last. But yeah, I'm glad. I think the course is broken on Cardiff. Now we can take them back to Elland Road, spank them. Maxwell with a hat-trick. Yeah, and Jesse got a subs right today, which is good.
So there we go. There are the positives.
We didn't lose.
Yeah. And it was nice, wasn't it, at the end?
Better than Bale's forever managed.
Correct. Should we move on to defending Junior Firpo then? Because was it Junior's best game for us quickly then before we listen to the clip?
Second half, he was genuinely useful. He should have scored a goal, did get an assist. I'm going to say should have scored a goal. I don't mean in that usual Junior Firpo should have scored a goal but blasted it over the byway. Had a shot that was going into the goal until it was illegally stopped.
Yeah.
So that was good. Didn't have to do any defending, which was probably a help to him, because that's where he tends to be at his worst, is when you see someone running at him and it's just soul destroying to watch someone stroll past him. But no, I thought he was good in that.
Found his level.
Yeah, I mean we were literally camped in that half, weren't we? It was, well, not literally, because that'd be tense.
Yeah. So you've said literally, I know, like all the kids do.
I know I have.
You hate yourself, don't you?
Yeah, very much so. we were in their half for the entire game. They didn't have any breaks, did they? As far as I can remember.
No. And he was good in the same way that he was good in Marsh's first game away to Leicester. We lost 1-0. I'm sure he had a shot that nearly went in similar style. He was in the penalty area shooting and nearly scoring. And I can't remember did we think we should have had a penalty handball in that game? It was a long time ago.
The Leicester one?
Yeah.
Let's say yeah.
Yeah, probably. There's bound to be some injustice. So there is, the problem he's had this season is just disappearing in pre-season, because it was going to be the big, this will be, right, he's had a year to upset us, sort out summer, get fit, come back, and he just got injured at Blackpool straight away, and hardly seen him since. So he had one game in the cup, didn't he? Did he play against Barnsley? And he was pretty bad, but he's had limited opportunities to upset us, which makes me think his current reputation is maybe, there is room for a reset there, because we don't have any recent evidence that he's terrible. It's all historic. And he's not really had the chance to put it right. This was going to be...
Recent's doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
This was going to be the season when we were all ready for him to turn it round. And the biggest problem is he's not played. So we've not seen him turn it round. And we had half a game there where he looked pretty good against... And it's hard to say, because you put an asterisk against everything, because Rodrigo looked brilliant when he came on. But then you go, well, it's only Cardiff. But, you know, whatever. And, you know, he's only scored 11 goals. So it's all... you got to give them the credit for doing what they do when they do it.
I like the idea that having some time between seeing you're bad at something means you might have got better at it. Just like when you don't play football for ages, then you turn up your five-a-side, you think, oh, maybe I'm going to be all right this time.
I've improved because I've thought about my game. I've thought about my game.
Yeah, I've had a lot of things. I've probably developed mentally. Nope, still an awful touch.
And they say a lot of the first yard's in the head, isn't it?
Another thing, like, you might think, oh, maybe I'm better at singing now. Nope.
Right, we've got some Stevie Nicol on the way. Chelsea, Southampton and West Ham first.
What was the Aston Villa problem with Firpo?
Well, this is it. I'm just going to say let's defend Junior, because we were trolling, weren't you? You found this one, Michael.
I was listening, because they obviously lost to Stevenage in the last minute, so I thought they'd be upset. They were a bit, but not comically, because I think they can kind of see that the Emery thing's probably working overall. Yeah. So they were a bit, I suppose, in the same ways we were a bit dejected after losing to Crawley, but not heartbroken. But I did come across a bit of Junior Firpo slander.
Which immediately, I heard this, I thought, you leave him alone.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful for Stevenage, but a Premier League team at home to a League Two team, however well they're going in League Two, should not be losing, and they definitely shouldn't be losing.
A when team for internationals, like
88 minutes, mate, the game was 1-0 to Villa. So they definitely should be going
against Cardiff. Leeds went out against Cardiff. They were 2-0 down with a team of kids. Oh yeah, their backline header, ain't they? Strike, and Junior Firpo. So they're really only playing with 10 people. And even Leeds fans will admit that about Firpo. I'm not sticking the boot in there.
I think you bloody well are.
I mean, you're sticking the boot in.
But, yeah.
Leeds fans do say that about Firpo.
But also, I mean, didn't he just say we were down there with a team of kids and then listed all the players who were not kids?
Yeah.
Because there were not that many kids. And we had that from Mark Hudson, Cardiff's manager as well. He said, well, you look at what Leeds were able to bring from the bench to win that game. You know, it's all right being able to bring on Rodrigo, isn't it? But who else, who came on with him? Matthew Joseph. Max Verber has never played here before. Cody Drammer, who admittedly is the best player Cardiff have ever had. And Sonny Perkins, who came on and won the draw.
But the old classic draw win.
didn't look particularly happy about it.
I did also pick up from this that Villa have actually got a worse FA Cup record than us. I just kind of assumed ours was the worst in the world. But no, they've lost in 2016-17. We got to the fourth round. They went out in the third.
Right.
That showed them.
So there you go. I mean, they've got a slightly more respectable band until Stevenage. Their defeats had come to Man United, Liverpool, Fulham, Swansea, Peterborough and Spurs. Whereas we do have Crawley, Newport and Sutton on our list.
Yeah, I was going to say that year when we got to the fourth round.
But what's in a name?
They went out in the third round to Tottenham.
Yeah.
We went out in the fourth round, so that's our proud achievement to Sutton.
It'd have been better to go out to Spurs in the third, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But who'd have got more prize money? That's the question. We would have done. So
Sutton.
That's the real quiz, isn't it?
Maybe so. And as far as I'm aware, I don't think a reality TV star ever appeared in any of their games, just to rub salt into the wound.
To be, like, I know Sutton had that goalkeeper who was fined, wasn't he, for eating a pie, but he was a reserve goalkeeper. We never... What's worse, to have been knocked out of the FA Cup by Steve Evans or have been managed by Steve Evans? What do you feel? What's the greater crime?
There's a lot of shame involved in both, isn't there? Maybe that's one for the therapist's couch. Are we the unhappiest fans in the league? I saw a brilliant tweet, and again, I wish I could credit the person who put it, but they said they come to the conclusion that nobody hates Leeds United more than Leeds United fans.
It's true.
It just really tickled my bones, did that one. It's very true, isn't it? And we don't hate Leeds United. I think there's just a lot of self-loathing there about...
I just hate the way they make me feel.
Yeah, that's it.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
We hate loving them.
Indeed. But this week proves that there are many other unhappy fans. And it's nice to know that I think our mania is not exclusive to us, is it? Like, for example, this is West Ham TV after their game.
A little bit better today. A little bit more fight.
It was a little bit better, but I feel like it's just the same thing week in, week out with Moyes. It's just poor tactics, poor management. I just don't know where we're going to go from this. I know we've got a draw. A draw is a draw, point to point, but we should be getting 3 points out of games like this.
I think you should have gone for the jugular. I mean, when we put pressure on Leeds, they really struggled, and that's where we got our goals from.
That's what I mean. You know, go at them. Go at them. What we've got to lose, you know, we're 17th in the league, and we're struggling. You know, just go at them. We've got nothing to lose, but we just kind of bottled it in that second half. Really did. I feel like we kind of just let them go at us. And it's concerning, mate. You know, I've been West Ham for all my life, but I just can't see no out of this. I really do feel like we're struggling massively, and I can't see no end until Moyes is gone.
They're not happy.
No end. No end for them. Southampton. They did actually beat Palace in the Cup, didn't they? But this is from their last league game where they lost at home to Forest. So this is match day vlogs. There's no end for them either.
St Mary's empties. But this is the worst Southampton I've seen.
Oh, this is by far and away the worst Southampton I've ever seen. This is worse than this
Pellegrini.
This is worse than Steve Wrigley. This is worse than when we got relegated in 2004.
Oh, goodness sake. This will be the last action. Prowsey with a free kick, nowhere near close enough to shoot.
Is that Baz up there? Well, Baz is up.
Is he new? And there it is. It's ended. 7-0. Forest 1. We're done. We are done. It's over.
How bleak is that?
And Forest losing to Forest as well, whose approach to sort of carnage, transfer carnage, I'm not sure. I still can't decide if that's going to work out for them or not, but I feel like they've got too many unhappy players. Like, there's an atmosphere developing at Forest that could backfire on them. That's why I'm quite calm, although things aren't going well. With Leeds, we just don't have the sound of despair about us. We're more angry because we want better, whereas I tune into what Southampton are doing, what's happening at West Ham, although they did beat Brentford in the Cup, and then Everton as well, where there's got that real kind of desperate feel of, it's not angry about not being better, it's panicking that this is going to end up in the Championship. And as long as they all stay on that track, I'm pretty comfortable. As long as we don't have Nathan Jones in charge, which, I mean, you know, I know our manager has his shortcomings and opinions go both ways, but Jesus Christ.
It's what Nathan Jones would have said.
Exactly. Yeah. It's who he needs.
That is an absolutely, it is a wild appointment, isn't it, based on his previous record? I don't know why they've
it's
done
like
that.
Kevin Nichols. He only works in Luton.
Well, yeah,
don't,
I mean,
don't take him outside of it.
Southampton is sort of trying to supercharge a Brighton model or something where they've signed a load of 19-year-olds and they got a youth coach in charge. And then they don't seem to have realised that you actually need to stay in the Premier League for that to work.
They're finished.
Speaking of Brighton, should we speak about Graham Potter? That's going well for him.
Brighton, yeah, Chelsea, you mean, as he is now.
Yeah, but they obviously nicked him. Get a good, promising young English manager in, then immediately want him to go.
And Brighton, I mean, with the word smug was mentioned, it was Marsh being smug. How smug is it to let Potter go to Brighton and then just go like, oh, we got a better one?
Potter goes to Chelsea, you mean? Potter goes to Chelsea.
Yes, sorry. So yeah, Potter leaves and Brighton just seamlessly just go, it's fine. This guy will do better than you ever did.
I mean, Chelsea singing about a past manager, demanding that their owners spend money. I mean, ridiculous behaviour, isn't it? We'd never do that.
20 years, Roman build a team and Boyle's ruin us. And Potter is looking clueless. He don't know what to do, man. No one's happy. If you're happy with that, I don't know what to say.
But surely you've got to put some blame on the players as well. I know that Potter's come in and Bowley's come in, but it's the players as well. I mean, they're on the pitch.
Every single one of them may need to take responsibility. But Boyle is trying to run the club like an American football franchise. This is not good enough, right?
We want our Tuchel back.
Did you hear that?
Who do you think got us in this mess?
Tuchel got us in this mess.
Respect. There you go. Listen.
10th in the Premier League.
And it goes on.
I might just start following badminton or something.
We've got some more Chelsea. Can't take all this. We've got some more Chelsea and propaganda extra, haven't we, as well?
I like how he calls him Boyle. Todd Boyle.
Well, what would you? Is he Bowley?
He's Bowley, isn't he? Everyone else seems to go with Bowley, but he calls him Boyle like he's called Todd Boyle.
I don't think he respects him very much, does he?
Did you see that the Spurs Supporters Trust have written to their ownership, concerned about the direction that they're heading in? And they are what, fifth? They're in the Champions League. And I looked as well, they spent 150 million quid on players in the summer.
It's not good enough.
It's not enough, is it?
In fairness, it's never enough, is it? We're the same. They just, unless you've got obviously a real top guy like Abramovich in charge.
Yeah. A real stand-up.
Everything he built with love and affection, and definitely not with a load of dodgy money.
Yeah, not at all stolen from the people.
Over a couple of decades. He was just such a lovely bloke.
Yeah.
And now it's all being ripped up. For what? Just because of...
A few war crimes.
Of bloody sanctions.
Right, let's move on to Steve Nichol. In fact, let's not just move on to Steve Nichol. Let's climax with Steve Nichol here. Because he's hurt his finger. Steve Nichol, we should explain, is an ESPN pundit over in the States. And I'm starting to think he's lost. Maybe he's had a bang to the head. He doesn't quite know what he's doing there.
But he's become they had the near drowning, didn't they? We've discussed that before when he was at Sheffield Wednesday.
So maybe the lack of oxygen to the brain has stayed
in a lake.
Yeah, what a character he is. Former Liverpool defender. Very, very, very bleak outlook on life. Seems to hate football and everything associated with it.
Loves crisps.
Doesn't hate crisps.
But does love crisps, yeah.
And shepherd's pie. He likes shepherd's pie.
Yes. So that's the build-up for Steve Nicol. What's happened this week, Michael?
He's got an infected finger.
The old...
And
right.
What would you do if you got an infected finger?
I'd go to the doctor and get some antibiotics.
Let's just listen to Steve dealing with it.
Okay.
Do you want to show everyone your finger while you're thinking?
No, please. No.
Stevie's got an infected finger. It's beautiful.
Tell you what, it's killed. Oh, it's bossed.
Oh, it's bossed.
Oh, no!
It's bossed.
I wondered when that happened. I don't know. Is that what that
Dad,
smell is?
That smell is.
Oh, God.
It is. Dad. That's what the smell is.
I wondered what that smell was.
No.
Did you smell it?
It's like from much of the show.
No.
Dan, can you tell us how Stevie's been fixing it? Was it boiling water and bread he's been putting his finger in?
It's called a bread poultice.
Stevie, do you want to go to the bathroom and sort yourself out?
What's going on?
So he's put...
Do you want to smell Steve's finger?
Had you ever heard of a bread poultice?
No, but I have now because you've put it here on the prep sheet and I still don't know what it is.
So he's it's a bit of an old-fashioned thing.
It sounds like something from the Middle Ages,
based
on the description here.
There are many different ways you can make a poultice. You can do it with like porridge, or some people do it with linseed and herb. It's a kind of an old-fashioned way of getting... can be used for burns, actually, one thing. So I did wonder if he'd, having set a hair on fire, he might slap some wet bread on Gary Ambler's poor wife, as well as just to add to the third-degree burns. But yeah, so you kind of put bread in hot milk or hot water, and then you lay it on an infection and it draws out some of the infection, is the idea.
Okay.
I know healthcare is expensive in America, and which is where he's now living. But someone tell him about antibiotics or like germaline.
Yeah.
Do they not have any of these products?
Just put a bit of cream on it.
A bit of cream on it. Probably fine. So whether or not it's the poultice or the finger itself.
So he's got some soggy, mouldy bread on his finger.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, so he goes off to fix it. And then he comes back. They're trying to discuss Champions League places. And Stevie comes back and he discovers a bit of either finger juice or poultice is now on the desk.
I mean, who knows what it is? Let's find out.
Yeah, but is that...
Yes, that's your star.
Oh, man. Who is the favourite?
New low.
Who's the favourite for the Champions League, Ali, if you had to predict now?
Stevie's finger.
God, that smells.
Yes, it does.
It smells like dog dirt.
Did not expect that at all. Smells like dog dirt. Football coverage is supposed to be glossy. You see the studios and the sets and the presenters and all this, they're all glamorous.
It's great though. I love it.
High definition 4K. And he's a 720p man at best, isn't
having
he?
Having come to us though, being miserable about Bielsa and thinking he was no fun at all. He's great. You don't see anyone else saying the finger stinking dog dirt. The use of the phrase dog dirt is good too.
It's very, very 1980s. Mm. It feels like Steve sort of...
Dog muck.
His head sort of lives in the 1980s and has never moved out of that era.
Or 1880s when it comes to his medical treatment.
To his poultice, yeah. Oh, thank you for that, Michael. It smells like dog dirt. We will wrap up Propaganda. There's some more clips and a bit of chat over on Propaganda Extra. What we're going to be talking about?
Captain.
Big sexy pirate captain, or not?
Or Liam Cooper, or maybe Adams.
All right, we'll do that then over on Propaganda Extra. So members, look out for that in your feed. In the meantime, we'll see you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.